B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We could be the champions. We could be the best. Black and gold forever. Rock the B on my chest. We could be the greatest. We could lift the cup. We could win the war. We can never be stopped. Buster Strong forever. Corrali, Mr. Wagner. Coleman, David Backus. And Marcus Johansson. Score the big goal and you can make the news. Stand in the ghetto. We can never lose.
So bring the cup, Boston Bruins.
Charlie Coyle, like a beating drum. Joakim Nordstrom, if we need a lack, Betty's got our back. If we need a snipe, we got Pasternak. Take it back, still Gretchy, still the magician.
Still
the best skating boss with the kids,
baby.
On a mission.
We need to hit that $1 million course one more time.
Like Miller, I need Clinton, Grizzly, Morris, Stephen,
I
don't know if this needs to be played. All the way down.
Unsolicited, Richie flipped out about this yesterday. Unsolicited in the 9 o'clock hour.
Let's remember Bobby Orr.
What did he do? Of course, that's what he did.
All right, can we start the show?
We got 5 seconds. Let it go.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You may reach us at 617-779-0985. It's good to see Bird working those phones right away in the morning. And a big game tonight, obviously. And if you are listening to the show right now, we can let you know that when you hear Brad Marchand singing Wake Me Up Before You Go by Wham!, if you're a car number 63 that will put Bird in an absolute tizzy, you will get tickets for tonight's game.
People are asking which number. Let's go ahead and give that out a few times this morning. It's the contest line, 617-931-0985. Okay, 0985. That's the one. All right, it's the contest line. We'll give that out all morning long. Plug it into your phone while you're at it, and it could happen at any point. It could happen right now. It could happen up right before 10 o'clock. And caller 63, you are going to a game that is going to be very intense this evening.
Chances of it happening anytime soon would be foolish. We're not going to have a sounder that we play right away, and then there's no anticipation.
You reward the early morning people.
And then what? Then you just, everyone else just knows they can't win tickets?
Well, the tweet, I put it out, right before the show started. Maybe people wake up at 8, they'll see the tweet, not realize we'd already given them out.
That's fine.
But
I don't think you give them out, at 6:30. Then you're kind of blowing it.
Well, maybe we're throwing people off the scent.
I suggest not doing that. If you're going to have a sounder, you don't just throw it. For a big game, you just don't throw it away. All right, so, that is going on this evening, and that is going on this morning. And there will be excitement at the Garden tonight. I will have to tape the game, which is not the worst thing in the world, because then I can get through all the pomp and circumstance as quickly as possible.
What is going on in your life after 8:22 tonight?
My son has a 7:30 baseball game.
Oh my God.
Gosh.
What?
Yes.
Starts at 7:30?
Yes.
This is Williamsport? This is the opening of Williamsport?
No, Williamsport don't start until July.
Okay. Why are they doing that? School's still in.
You got to play the playoff games. You play under the lights.
These are like hour and a half games, too, so those will go to like 9, right?
7:30. Yeah, 9 o'clock. They're around an hour and a half.
You shouldn't be able to do that with like kids that aren't in high school, like elementary school kids starting at 7:30 and ending at 9.
That's insane.
There should be some sort of rule. I'm not kidding you. There should be some sort of rule because I mean I don't know about you, but I mean. My kids got a ridiculous amount of homework now, too, which is even the last week of school, which is stupid.
No, my kids have no... The teachers have given up a long time ago.
You see, mine are all my kids are trying to cram in these like last-minute tests during like the final week.
Nah, there's none of that. Oh, okay. The teachers took the foot off the gas about a month ago. So, even if they had homework, though, it gives you till 7:30. So you got some time. You get out of school at 3:00. You got some time, and then you prepare yourself. You get to the field maybe 45 minutes early. You hit a little BP, then you're good to go. But I have no problem taping that game and fast forwarding through all the crap that happens at the beginning. You got to tape the stuff in the beginning just in case they throw you a curveball.
You're not even going to miss the first all of the first period.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll catch up.
The game's going to start at as I said, like 8:23. I don't even think that there's any plans downtown as far as like there being anything at Government Center. I know that they're going to have like the Causeway area, like they did the first couple of games, all put up. But what do they call that? Like Bruins Marketplace?
Yeah,
or
Canal
like
Street. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're going to do that, which looks cool on TV. But I don't think, Fred, there's going to be a Gary Clark Jr. moment.
Oh, darn.
During this one. Or even a Lil Nas X moment like in game one. I don't think you're going to have that. You're just going to, and I don't even know if they're going to show the introductions anymore. I'm sure they'll show Todd Angeli, and that's about it.
There's no introductions for the teams after the first game in the home city. But they'll figure something to do. They'll have James Taylor coming out there and rocking a little something to put you to sleep. So, yeah, I have no problem taping the beginning of that. None at all. The idea that they have the face-off at 8:23 is infuriating.
I mean,
because they'll go through all this crap, and then you'll see the players, waiting to come out on the ice. Why weren't they on the ice 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be like 8:15. They're still not like on the ice. And you're like, well, what's happening? And then something will happen where they'll, it seems like they're ready to go at like 8:17, and then they'll extend it like Brett Hull will come out. Yes. You're like, all right, why do we even need
this? That was weird. You did the anthem, the players are out there, but we need to delay another 3 minutes so Brett Hull can go scream at people and then go back inside.
Right. I mean, and the thing that kind of sucks about that is they show all the Brett Hull stuff. They didn't even show Belichick waving the flag during game two.
Yeah, they don't need to show any of that. They shouldn't.
See, but I would at least would have, if you're going to show Brett Hull, you got to show Belichick because that's hysterical. Anytime you can see Belichick showing any sort of joy or emotion is something that I believe is worth showing on television. But I understand if you're going to show one, show the other. But
I wouldn't show anything. Yeah, I wouldn't show anything. If I'm in any other market, if I'm here, I didn't care about Belichick waving a flag.
Well, I do here. I mean, that would have been fun. And you know what? I would like to have seen the 2011 team. That would have been cool. They didn't show that on TV.
Yeah,
but we get Brett Hull.
You can take to the awesome flag waving. It'll probably be Brady tonight.
Actually, probably not.
See, I think they're saving him for 7 if it happens.
Well, tonight is the night where Kraft holds his big to do. They get the rings tonight. Tonight's the big party.
Yeah. Okay, tonight's the big party. Yeah. Rashawn and I plays.
That's right.
They're not going to be there tonight. So
RKK, after celebrating his 78th birthday yesterday, he's feeling in a good mood.
Yeah, he's going to have another ridiculous ring that he gives everybody.
That's correct.
Who would you bring out tonight then if it's nobody from the Patriots? I mean, because you're right. They're saving Tom Brady in the chamber if it goes game 7 at home.
Maybe they'll have Ortiz do it.
It's not a bad guess. It's not a bad guess at all.
That'd be surreal, man.
If it was a towel, not a flag.
Oh, why can't it be surreal if it's a flag? I think it'd be twice as surreal.
It's your standard, not
bigger
mine,
banner. Huh? Damn right it is.
Maybe they'll have Kyrie Irving do it.
Which would be pretty hysterical. I can't wait to talk about Danny Ainge yesterday. And I know that later on, I think after the draft, we're going to have him on again. But I mean, that was awesome. The press conference yesterday was fantastic. And you got a good read. I mean, you know what's going to happen with Kyrie. He's not going to be here.
Right? Yeah.
But the way it was talked about from Danny, who tries to be as diplomatic as anybody, was pretty, pretty telling.
Yeah. Yeah. Not happy.
No. Not happy, but doesn't regret the trade. He goes, you know, this stuff happens. He was, you know, said
how was he supposed to know it was going to be like?
I mean, well, he even said that. He goes, well, I mean,
there's no way he could have known.
One of the best lines, and once again, we'll go into it a lot because he said a lot yesterday. But the best line was, I was surprised that our team didn't buy in 100% into the Celtics, and I'm like, oh yeah. Boy, that is all from Kyrie. And then there's all these people saying that, you know, who are anonymous players in the locker room say that, I mean, what we've been hearing for months is that he just killed any kind of vibe when he walked into the room. So anyone who's got any kind of feelings that, oh, maybe Kyrie could turn things around, everyone, I mean, it seems like everyone who's had a chance to talk crap on Kyrie has talked crap on Kyrie.
Well, he's never going to be happy anywhere he goes.
Well, that's true. Because if you're not happy here, where are you going to go and
well,
be happy?
The story is he's going to go to Brooklyn, and we've discussed this
Jimmy
before.
Jimmy Butler.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that he's walking into the exact same situation in Brooklyn that he had here. Well, a bunch of good young players, a brand new head coach who's up and coming that has succeeded. And he's going to be the guy to lead them? That's exactly what happened when he got here.
Well, he wanted out of Cleveland, he wanted out of Boston, and now he's going to Brooklyn. And just because he grew up in New Jersey, I don't know if that's going to make everything okay. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about?
Well, we got some good stuff coming up about the Bruins. A little more inside information about whether or not Chara is going to play tonight.
All right, so we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's an app. There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Be happy what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Danny at 5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened? What's going on?
Well, after four games of the Bruins D-men getting picked off one by one, it was nice to get some potential good news from the team yesterday. Well, on the Chara front, the report circulating that Zdeno had broken his jaw. He was not at morning skate yesterday, but one person who was Matt Greslick, who has been in concussion protocol since going down with a head injury in Game 2. Bruce Cassidy yesterday was asked about the status of both his D-men at media availability.
Grizz skated today, red jersey. He's still in protocol. When he gets cleared, he'll be ready to go, whether that's by tomorrow or not. I can tell you today, Z, facial injury. No update on him. Give you a prognosis on him tomorrow. That's probably the best I can give you right now. Z's not here, didn't skate, so it makes it a little more difficult for him. I've always said that. The guys that are skating, obviously a little closer.
Now, even though Greslick was skating in a no-contact red jersey, he did look to be in good spirits and even took questions yesterday after the skate.
He took contact yesterday, from what I'm reading.
Oh, really? Because, I mean, all of the scenes that he had
read
no contact.
No, I understand what that means, but I've just read in The Athletic that there was a little bumping going around.
Very nice. Well, he was asked how he was feeling and what his opinion was of the hit by Sundqvist that sent him to the hospital.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. It was obviously nice to kind of join back with the team and get out there and take some reps on the ice. And, the league handled the hit, so I'd rather not comment on it.
Now, the Chara thing is still a pretty big mystery, and as we've heard from past players like Dan Reed, who we had on Tuesday, the level of how your jaw was broken determines the ease of ability to play through. It's displacement versus simply broken, and that could determine a lot. But Joe McDonald from The Athletic got a sense that several players in the team believe that Zdeno may play tonight. Matter of fact, from the article, he says, quote, Torrey Krug, Noel Achari, and Stephen Kampfer have all played a pro hockey game with a broken jaw. I'll acknowledge it's not a fun experience, but it's possible to play and make an impact, especially if you're a veteran like Bruins captain Zdeno Chara. Typically, the return time after a broken jaw is weeks long, as it was for Krug, Achari, and Kampfer. But there's a sense in the locker room that if there's one player who can pull it off only 3 days after the injury, it's Chara. Oh, absolutely, Achari said. He said, good luck telling that guy he can't play. He definitely can be effective with his presence. He's a true leader, and he's not going to want to miss the final two or three games of the Stanley Cup final. I don't expect him to, but I'm not a doctor. So Achari says he doesn't expect him to miss those games, but he has no kind of inside information. He goes, I think he's playing, said one Eastern Conference trainer. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. From a medical point of view, according to Joe McDonald, he goes, it's not known whether Chara had surgery to wire his jaw shut. The team is not revealing that at this point. The outcome is obviously a huge indicator of whether he's going to play. If he did have surgery, it'd be difficult to communicate on the ice. It would be difficult to breathe as well during the course of the game, and he, of course, would be in pain. However, he could forego the procedure to be able to talk and eat. Camphor talked about his and said, quote, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. When you play with it wired shut, you're trying to get as many calories in your body because you're drinking everything through a smoothie and a straw. I found that every little hit jars it a little more, so it hurt. I also took about 3 weeks before I was back to playing. Even then, it was tough. I've seen guys that have come back a lot quicker than that, however. Well, with Chara or not, Patrice Bergeron knows that Bruce Cassidy is willing to do anything to get his team going through, get his team going through major adjustments or minor during the postseason.
He kind of knows how to get guys going individually or as a team. And, you know, we all know that everyone reacts differently from one to another. So I think he's got a good read and a good feel on how to do that and handle it. And he's been great. And obviously he's very good at adjusting and you know, getting us going.
And expect David Pastrnak to not look to get any sympathy regarding team injuries because he knows everyone is banged up this time of year.
Yeah, well, obviously in this time of the year, you're always going to have some bumps, you know, you know, it's hockey, and you'll be really, really lucky if you be 100% healthy with the full team. So, you know, we're just going to suck it up and play through it, you know, and how I said, prepare for game five.
If I was the Bruins, and even if Chara played, I'd play seven defensemen.
Well, that's something that's been talked about, whether they're going to try to pull that off.
Because you don't know how Chara's going to react. You don't know how many minutes he's going to be able to play. You don't know how Grizzlick, what his legs are going to be like. I would play, again, like we talked about yesterday, is bench Backus and play seven defensemen.
Grizzlick's playing tonight.
Yeah, there's no
question.
He's
absolutely. You don't stick him in front of the media if he's not. And he practiced, apparently, with the second power play unit. I don't care if he's wearing the red contact jersey or not. Cassidy knows that he's going to be cleared from concussion protocol today. He's a week out from it. He's playing tonight. But I agree with you, Fred. You don't know what you're going to get out of Grizzlick. Just a week away at this time of year is not ideal. And Chara, with his jaw wired shut, you don't know what you're going to get out of him either. I actually think he's going to play too. So if you have both those guys out there, you dress the extra defenseman. I agree. And yes, Backus is not giving you much.
You're losing nothing
two,
by not having
weeks.
Him on the ice.
Yeah.
And you can double shift some of your better players. And
you can even alternate who double shifts. Whatever the case may be, there's a way to spread the minutes around.
Right.
And I don't think anyone's going to complain about the extra time at this time of year. No. So just dress seven defensemen, Chara and Grizzlick both out there, mix and match as you need to, and let's go.
And maybe have Chara. So I was thinking McAvoy, Grizzlick, Krug, Carlo, Moore, Clifton, and then you could even use Chara in just penalty kill situations.
Yeah, that gives you that luxury.
Well,
yeah.
Well, yesterday, without Chara on the ice, the way that the defensemen were lined up is it was Moore with McAvoy, and then it was Krug, Carlo, Camphor, Clifton, and then they had Grizzlick, Vekanainen out there.
Well, Vekanainen's not playing.
That's asking, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Rich. That's asking way too much. This kid apparently is the future. He's a great stay-at-home defenseman.
Cassidy said it like yesterday. He's like, I can't see doing that.
That's a big ask, I think
is
he said.
What he said.
Yeah,
that's
a really big ask.
This is him being asked about Vekanainen, who once again was skating yesterday.
Yeah, he's on the outside. We're not, you know, that was an option. If both guys are out, we kind of went through them all. We're getting into a little bit of hearsay or speculation. So that would be a big ask, real big ask. But if that's the way we got to go, then that's the ask we're going to make. But right now, like I said, that's a long shot that we'd go that way, especially seeing Grizz out there today. So that gives us all a little bit of confidence that he's closer. It's always a step in the protocol to get out on the ice. So
I'm sorry, you said so you wanted to do the seven defensemen.
Yes.
Who takes the bench? Like, who's on the bench?
What do you mean?
Backus.
Backus?
Oh, Backus.
Backus.
Dress 11 forwards, Backus sits.
And you'd rather have Backus out?
You rotate other right wings through that second line to skate with Krejci and DeBrusk.
You've seen what's happened when they've lost a defenseman in this series. They
Yeah.
Or you just get winded.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the defensemen are taking so much punishment.
Yeah, it sounds to me like worst case scenario, if both Chara and Grizzly for some reason can't go and you still want to dress that extra defenseman, it would be Vaakanainen. And he's the break glass in case of emergency guy. Mm-hmm. But he's played two NHL games this year. Yes, he's played in the minor leagues, but asking him to step in now.
He hasn't played in 40 days.
Yeah, asking him to step in now, that's insane. I mean, there was a period of time, it was last year or 2 years ago, where they were pulling guys in off the street to play defense. Remember that? A guy, Tommy Cross, they brought up from Providence to play in a playoff game.
There are a couple of guys.
Because they were just pulling guys in and like, all right, we need an extra defense and we need you to dress, even though you have no NHL experience.
You know who you could bring in? You could bring in Bobby Orr, who left his bones out on the garden floor.
He did. Of course he did.
Let's remember Bobby Orr, who gave his bones to the garden floor.
Maybe there's a twist. You can bring in the sheriff.
We played that yesterday.
we hit all the bright spots yesterday.
We hit them all yesterday.
But yes.
Shane Knighty.
The sheriff.
The sheriff.
Right. One of my all-time favorite calls.
So, yeah. Grizzlick's in. I still think Chara's in. And
I don't think Chara plays.
I think he's an animal. He will play.
I think there's a lot of people saying he's tough.
Joe McDonald. Hey, look.
If you can't breathe, you can't play.
Joe McDonald's been covering the Bruins for 20 years for a variety of different outlets. And I'm telling you, he knows his stuff. And if his sense is that he's going to play, I lean in Joe's direction.
I don't know. Because I hear all these stories about people playing with broken jaws. Has anyone played with a broken jaw 3 days after it happened?
Roenick's played with a broken jaw, and then Jaffe had examples of guys who played the next day with a broken
jaw. Has anyone broken their jaw during the Cup Final?
Once again, there's different levels of breaking your jaw.
That's what Pat is going to say. Hello, Pat.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
It all depends on where the break was. I mean, it says he had some tooth damage, so he could have been in oral surgery yesterday for a few hours fixing a fracture underneath where his teeth that were broken, which doesn't mean his jaw was wired shut, which means he probably would be able to go. I had oral surgery a month ago. I didn't get hit in the face with a puck, but I was back at work that afternoon. So, a good possibility, he does play tonight. I didn't hear that he had his jaw wired shut.
By the way, he can tell them not to wire it shut until after the season. I mean,
but then, and you know what? Once again,
he'd wear a full face mask,
but it doesn't matter because the mask attaches to your chin. Like, I mean, there's something that holds onto your chin.
He would be playing in a tremendous amount of pain,
and it could do like much more extensive damage. Like a smaller hit could do that.
He's 42 years old. He wants a cup, and then. You know, this is what he's going to have to do.
Ty Anderson brought up the point that this may be Chara's last chance. I mean, this might be it.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't.
So, I mean, he's
no question.
Got one more year left on his contract. I don't think he's playing until he's 47. I mean, this is it. This is this year and it's next year. I think this is the best opportunity he's going to have in front of him.
All this talk about Chara's jaw made me learn something yesterday. I didn't realize that because he played and he's been in the league for so long, he was around before they had the visor rule.
Got grandfathered in.
I didn't realize that I thought it was just they changed the rule and the rule was the rule. But if you were playing before that happened, and how many players in the league do you think are grandfathered in on that right now? There's probably you probably count them on one hand.
The mm-hmm. best is that when age. You got grandfathered to not have to wear a helmet and Ron Duguay.
I was just going to bring up Duguay because of the hair. Yeah. I remember him. That's right.
Ron Duguay was just like, letting it fly. He said, I'm never wearing a helmet. All right, Rich. What are we gonna do?
Hey, Chris Sale is back. It looked awesome last night. We will get
to
that.
It was one of the five people watching last night.
Yeah. Well, that makes one of you.
Yep. All right. Actually, five of us. That's about it.
All right. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Rich, what do we got going on?
Well, for as much junk as he's delivered this season, last night was an old-school Chris Sale ass-kicking.
And a fly ball. There's Benintendi, and he's got it. And Chris Sale with a masterpiece tonight. The Red Sox win it 8-0. He goes all the way, a complete game three-hit shutout with an immaculate inning. And he strikes out a dozen men. And the Red Sox continue to gain ground. That is two games in two nights.
That is Nesson, and Chris Sale delivers that complete game shutout in the Red Sox 8-0 rout of Kansas City. His night complete with an immaculate inning right there in the eighth. Three up, three down, nine strikes with his last pitch clocking at over 97 miles per hour. It was Sale's second immaculate inning of the season, the other coming on May 8th against Baltimore.
Chris Sale was the last man to have an immaculate inning. 0-2. He struck him out. He's done that twice this season. Nine pitches, all strikes in an inning. An immaculate inning once again for Chris Sale.
On top of that, it was Chris Sale's third career shutout. Meanwhile, the offense did their part, putting up eight on the scoreboard with Devers notching a dinger, which you may have been taken by surprise by watching it because the action started during a Nesson commercial break.
When I became a grandfather, I wanted to keep up. And with Porter, you know, I feel like I'm almost there. It may leave your heart.
Devers with a high deep drive and gone. Rafael Devers with a double in the fifth inning. Casts one deep into the night here in Kansas City. A mile high.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice timing on that one. Good way to go. Excellent work, Guy and Van.
Not to be a party pooper, but Kansas City's 8-23 on the road.
Yeah, Kansas City has lost twice as many games as they've won this season, but just to see the Red Sox beat the stuffing out of a team they're supposed to beat the stuffing out of is good. And they've gained three games on the Yankees in the last three nights. They're only 6.5 back all of a sudden.
Oh, boy.
Tied for the second wild card. They got a chance to make up some more ground. They got Tampa Bay coming into town this weekend. I mean, just when you're ready to completely write them off from making the playoffs, they still have a chance. They're three games over 500. But Chris Sale, most importantly, I think the most important thing you said, Rich, there was he hit 98 on the gun,
yeah,
which is not something he's done at all this year.
98 with his final pitch,
yeah,
in the eighth.
In the eighth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guy that we all thought we were going to get at some point. So there it is. Mm-hmm. He's hit his stride. He completely didn't need to dominate. He threw Kansas City under a bus last night. He looked great. Mm-hmm. So that's good. I mean, in a season where a lot more has been not good, that was really good to see.
Well, Sale afterwards was asked about his shutout and what kind of conversations were going on between him and Alex Cora.
After the seventh, AC came up to me, asked me how I was doing. You know, said, obviously we got a bullpen game tomorrow, so he's like, man, I'd really like to get you through this eighth inning. And I told him, I was like, I'll finish this thing. He's like, let's see how we're doing after the eighth inning. So went out there and had a little motivation for the eighth inning and, you know, ended up letting me finish it.
Now, AC, did he, when he was talking to him, did he turn the chair around and sit on it?
He did. Yep. They were at the Max at the time, as a matter of fact.
And then was it before or after the magician was the guy at the Max?
It's funny. When I heard AC, for some reason, the first thing I thought of was a band whose name I can't say on the air, who actually I think is from Massachusetts, who I saw a concert one time.
Oh, I know.
Who threw a chair at a guy.
Yeah. Anal bling bling.
Yes, anal something else.
Yeah.
You can't say the second word.
No.
By the way, surprisingly, it was me and eight other people in the audience.
Yeah, you got it.
But also on the bill was a band called EYE Hate God. So you knew that it was just the
nice.
It was, I mean,
well,
the Monopoly guy was there.
I Hate God is a rather large. I mean, they're a band that can bring a crowd.
They did not that night.
Nope. They are from New Orleans, and I don't even know their music.
Oh, they are heavy as hell. They have an album.
So heavy only the devil could lift it.
They have an album called Take His Needed for Pain, which starts off with what might be the heaviest song ever written. Yeah, they're, for having such an awful name, they're a pretty good band. Well, yesterday he was also asked, Chris Sale, about whether or not he knew he had an immaculate inning going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's something, you know, you get the first guy and you throw the first strike to the next guy and you're like, okay, you know, you get it rolling. And, you know, it's fun, especially for the guys.
Yeah. Well, another Red Sox-related news. It looks like they won't be getting any closing help this season from Craig Kimbrel because He is now officially off the market. Kimbrel agreed yesterday to a deal with the Cubs, who have been in desperate need for closing help as well. Haven't there been, like, in the past month, something crazy, like 8 blown saves?
The Cubs are second worst in all of Major League Baseball with 12 blown saves.
Okay, but like, just in the past
month.
In
the last 6 weeks, it's been particularly bad, but somehow they're still in first place in that division.
Well, they just
said that division is falling apart. The Cardinals swept them. Though last week,
are they 3.5 back now? Something like that.
Three and a
Cardinals.
Half back.
Yeah. Well, they just threw money at him. 3 years and close to $45 million guaranteed. Watch Craig have a career year now, because of course he will.
Yeah, pressure's off. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
I think he's getting $10 million this year, and then whatever the makeup
16.
Is after that.
Yeah, it's cheap this year, but 16
well,
the next
it's,
two.
It's
or
not,
like
and
that.
It's not a prorated $10 million. It's $10 million.
Yeah.
So it's right. They're not making up for lost time, but we got ourselves some day baseball today as the Red Sox. Wrap up against the Royals. The first pitch is at 1:15.
One quick thing. Just Rafael Devers, who hit a home run last night, didn't quite get all of. Devers belongs, he should be the starter in the All-Star game this year. That's how good he's been. And I'm bringing this up because I know maybe 24 people are watching these games, and it might come as news to some people, but Devers is having a huge year. Better than Bregman, who will probably wind up being the starter in the All-Star game for the American League. But Devers has numbers that are equally as good, if not better. And I think Arenado and Turner are the only two guys that have better numbers than him at third base in Major League Baseball. He's had a great year.
Yeah, and on top of that, too, is he like the only one that you're looking at from the team right now who you think has any kind of consideration for votes? Or
well, none of the pitchers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you go through the entire starting rotation.
Mookie,
I guess Mookie
might get voted in.
Well, yeah, he might get voted in. He doesn't deserve to be in it.
Yeah, I mean, Mookie will probably get voted in.
Chavis, baby.
Chavis, once again, is going through a dip in production. I am not, before you jump on me, Fred Tutcher, willing to say that this is the way it's going to be. He went through an 0-for-20 slump earlier and got himself out of it, and now pitchers are throwing him exclusively high fastballs, which he's not laying off of.
Laying back.
He will be fine.
Injecting that gin and juice. That's what he was doing.
I see. I told you, he's going to hit 240. He's good for 20 or 25 bombs a season. Well, that's what I think.
The sky's the limit then. That's
better than you thought you were going to get this year.
I mean, that's what you want. You want a guy hitting 240.
Well, take a look at Major League Baseball, Fred. There are a lot of guys like that. That are starters in the majors.
Mm. All right, Rich. What else will we talk about today?
Well, we'll get into what Danny Ainge had to say. On top of that, I am putting in my request now to have Kendrick Perkins be a weekly guest during next Celtics season.
Oh, so you can just get that baritone?
He's become my favorite soundbite over the last several weeks. Dude hates Kyrie Irving.
Yes. I think a lot of people do. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Take a walk on the wild side. Do yourself a favor. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it sounds like we've got a little bit of a controversy, something that has been not even a mystery, but has maybe been something that of a moment of ridicule in the life of Paul Pierce. And when people who are not fans of Paul and his game want to bust his balls, what is the number one event that they go towards?
The wheelchair?
The wheelchair game. That's right, where he got rolled out with a wheelchair. Now, up to this point, the way it had been described to me as to why he got a wheelchair was that it was mandated by the NBA. Like, his injury mandated he had to have a wheelchair, and the cameras had to be out there. I don't know if that's BS or not, but that's the way it was sold. It's no matter what, it still looks ridiculous.
That's complete crap.
I know, but
that's true.
I think we asked Ainge about that one time,
no way.
And Ainge told us that.
No. Yeah.
So it might be complete BS, which it probably is, but that's the way it was at least described to us.
He might as well painted his face and ripped his shirt off.
That's why this explanation might have just earned the respect back to Paul Pierce. Last night he was on the pregame for the Raptors versus the Warriors game. And I guess it's the anniversary of the wheelchair game, and he had this explanation as to what really happened.
11 years ago today, wheelchaired off the floor for reasons he will keep to himself.
I have a confession to make.
Whoa.
I just had to go to the bathroom.
Number one or number two? But why did you need a wheelchair to get to the bathroom?
It was that bad.
Something went down. I had to go. You were streaking?
Okay. Anywho. Injuries.
So he faked his injury because he had the squirts? He had the Rhea?
Yeah. Maybe he had to sit down because it would run down his legs.
Maybe that's the explanation. Now, the wheelchair is, you know, he wasn't getting wheeled off.
No, he's getting wheeled back on.
It was wheeled back on.
I mean, it always comes down to diarrhea, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, how many times these athletes just... I just love it when they're honest. About Paul Pierce, if this is indeed the case, why'd you hold it in for so long? No pun intended.
Because I'll tell you... Oh yeah. Why did the story?
You waited to retire to tell the Rhea story?
Well, you know, the time has to pass. So the legend of the Rhea.
Because to be quite honest, if you had just said you had Rhea... Like, after you guys won, was that the year they won? I forget. But either way, after you finally, the season's over, it's okay to admit that you had Rhea.
I don't think that was the year they won. I think that was before they won.
What? Oh, yeah, 11 years. Yeah, if it's 11 year anniversary, it is the year they won. Oh,
okay, this is the year they won.
Yes, so, it is.
All right, yeah. Well.
Oh, wait.
Paul Pierce ended up tweeting last night, so it sounds like he was joking because he put, "Sorry to bust y'all haters' bubble, but the only poo emoji I did in June 5th, 2008 was on the Lakers. Hashtag facts, FACTZ.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
That's kind of funny.
All right.
That's all right. I wish he wouldn't have tweeted that, though. I wish he would just left it out there for people to kind of discuss and stew on. But I do know that Jalen Rose seems very comfortable on television. The reason I know that is these dudes are dropping F-bombs.
But all that really matters for great players, what happens in the last 2 minutes?
Absolutely. Kawhi's been f***ing up this entire playoff. But what about his running mate in the backcourt?
By the way, they just looked at him and just let it go.
It's great.
And you know what? Good on Michelle Beadle and Paul Pierce and
Billups, right?
Chauncey Billups, yeah.
Yeah.
Good on them for not, like, missing a beat and just letting him go. None of them went like, oh, don't go there. Like a total unprofessional.
You're allowed to swear. I'm telling you that the way that the culture is now, you're allowed to swear.
Well, I mean, in locker rooms, I mean, every athlete does it. But, I mean, this isn't a Disney-owned television network. It's ESPN.
I'm telling you that with all the things people get...
I mean, I got no problem. Obviously, we have no problem with it, but it is shocking when you do hear it
right
on TV from an anchor.
But all that really matters for great players, what happens in the last 2 minutes?
Absolutely. Kawhi's been f***ing up this entire playoff, but what about his running mate in the backcourt?
All right, yes.
Yeah, that's just the way that it goes.
It does. Well, we will get to the Danny Ainge stuff in just a little bit, but one thing that did come out of it is that it sounds like there's really no certainty that Kyrie Irving is going to come back. There's been not much communication between him and Danny Ainge. They were asked if, you know, the wedding was still on, and, you know, Danny goes, I don't know, and, you know, we're going to give him space and blah, blah, blah. But then there's Kendrick Perkins, who I love the fact that he's been doing the rounds. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's so opinionated and he's close to the Celtics, and the Celtics have been one of the more fascinating stories over the past couple of weeks since they went down. But Perkins was on with, I don't even know what the show is, but he was on with Christine Leahy, who, you know, used to work here and now is on the Colin Cowherd show.
No, I think she left that too. She's got her own show now.
Oh, she does. Oh, okay.
I believe so, yes.
All right. Well, she sat down with Kendrick Perkins and asked about Kyrie.
First guess, who do you think Kyrie Irving will sign with this summer?
I really don't care who Kyrie signed with.
Not a Kyrie fan?
Not at all. He really disappointed me. The way he represented the Celtics this year, so I'd rather not even speak on it. I don't care who you sign with.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
Perk's the best.
He's got that Texas draw, man. Kiss my ass. That's all that is. I'm going to say this, and I don't care what y'all think.
Nope.
Great.
he is almost begging for a gig with the Celtics, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yes.
Like, I mean,
yes.
he is so pro Celtics
He wants back in bad.
Well, good. And you know, I think we've talked to Danny this year about Kendrick Perkins, haven't we? Because I thought that there was some sort of news story out there where, oh, maybe it was as a player for him coming back here. He says he regrets, you know, ever going to the Cleveland Cavaliers and doing all that whole thing. He was the one who got in Drake's face. Remember that? Like, he might be the only player outside of Draymond Green that I've seen, like, get in his face. Like, well, dude, Draymond, what the hell are you doing?
But then Draymond backpedaled and said that he didn't want any, that he wasn't going after him. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Well, he's probably disappointed this morning as well because of what happened yesterday.
Leonard front court drives, hits Green, corner three in the air, got it again! Down the bottom of the well for Danny Green, 89-75, biggest lead of the game for Toronto at 14.
Great pass by Kawhi Leonard, hooking up Danny Green again.
Yep, no Klay Thompson, no Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry tried to do all the offense on his own. He scored 47 last night, and they still lost by double digits to the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors go up 2-1. Bankroll Boys, who we'll have on in just a moment, not having a good series with this, as well as they've been doing their bets. This has been a strange one for them. Yes.
By the way, Curry also led his team in rebounds and assists as well.
Yeah, I mean, yes. he was everywhere last night.
Just another, I don't know if you need validation, but I mean, his game kind of gets lost when Durant's out there. And he kind of gets lost at times. And Klay Thompson's gone off for 60 in a game.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Steph Curry's great. But when you see what he tried to do last night, I mean, he was remarkably good because without Kevin Durant, without Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green is decent at the offensive end,
yeah.
but he was drawing two and three guys, Curry was, wherever he went. And he still scored 47. He scored half of his team points in the first half. I mean, he had an otherworldly performance last night. And they lost. But, I mean, sometimes you forget how good guys are because they've been good for so long. Watch Steph Curry last night.
I told you he's in the conversation for best player on the planet. You guys laughed at me. But I think
he's not the best player on the planet.
I said he's in the conversation.
But he just reminded everyone exactly how good he was last night.
Well, Draymond Green seems that he thinks that the whole world is happy when they lose.
No one cared if guys are hurt. Everybody wants to see us lose. So we just got to continue to battle and win the next game, go back to Toronto, win game 5, come back to Oracle, win game 6, and then celebrate. Fun times ahead.
Okay.
Draymond Green, not a fan of calling the owners of NBA teams owners.
Well, there is real discussion being like within the NBA right now of changing that name, which I think is kind of ridiculous because, I mean, they do own the team, but there's a slave mentality type of, I mean, there's a connotation, you know, owner. And I know that there's been players who've not really liked that. I don't know what you're going to call them.
I mean, you own a business and then you have employees.
Understood. But the NBA, because they seem to be the most in front of social issues of any of the leagues right now, is saying, you know what? If this is what the players want, we'll change the name.
It's the most ridiculous thing in the entire world.
See, I don't know.
If I own a business, I own it.
Of course you do.
I don't own the employees.
No.
I own the business.
Yeah, which is what NBA teams are at the end of the day.
Yes, they're businesses I own.
What's the problem?
I just want to hear what kind of name they're going to come up with.
Gatekeepers? What are you calling them?
The Keymasters.
Right.
Well, there was
let's
one
go Ghostbusters and everyone.
There was one guy I heard quoted, and they said, if you had a predominantly Jewish business, you wouldn't mention the Holocaust. And I'm like,
huh?
And
that's
it was
a perfect comparison.
And I think it was someone from ESPN. And I'm like, how the hell could you work the Holocaust into if I own a toy store and I have black employees, I don't own the toy store. I own it. I paid for it. It's mine. I don't own you.
I'm looking at the thesaurus.com for owner, and like these are even worse. Like there's like a proprietor, the governor, overseer. You definitely don't want that one.
I love Draymond Green. That owner thing is absolutely ludicrous.
The NHL.
But there's a legitimate conversation made in the NBA.
There's a conversation.
I know.
I don't know how legitimate it is.
Well, the NHL has the board of governors.
But that's not the owners.
That way. I know.
I mean, those are the
if I own a business, I own it.
Possessor? You don't want that.
No, that's even worse.
You don't want that. I'm looking at the thesaurus right here, and all the words are bad. Like, as far as bad, if If this is the connotation you don't want as far as there being like
owner,
a slavery type thing.
Owner is a word with a meaning.
Fred, I agree.
A concrete meaning. You own a business. You own a home. You own, I mean, you don't own the employees. You own the business. Someone owns this radio station. I mean, if I'm a black employee of a station, there's no longer an owner. But the Holocaust thing, I wish we had audio of it, because they're like, if you had a predominantly Jewish business, you wouldn't, you know, reference the Holocaust. No.
How about head honcho, baby? You know, the king of cool.
Mr. Yep. Big Shot.
That's right. As RKK comes strutting down. The Big Ragu. That's what you can call us.
Right. Have jackets made up.
You know he does. Yeah. When his crew gets together. All right, so no commercials are just the headlines. We'll have the Bankroll Boys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.